Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, April the 27th, an absolutely lovely day here in Dallas. And I guess it's going to be like this for a couple of days. Today, we're going to talk about Vice President Biden, who's now the latest Democrat running. We're also going to talk about the American economy doing quite well, to say the least. And we'll talk a little bit about impeachment, too. There doesn't seem to be a lot of support for impeachment at the moment, if you believe some of the polling data. But let me begin with a quick message here about what just happened in San Diego this afternoon, where apparently there was a shooting at a synagogue. I don't have a lot of details other than there's one person apparently dead, four injured, and the police has caught the shooter. The shooter, as I understand, turned out to be a 19-year-old young man, which is pretty incredible, so young, so deadly. But anyway, I don't know much more than that. My prayers, of course, are with all the members of that synagogue and with all the members of that community close to San Diego, as I see on the map. Of course, every time you get one of these, you get the gun control people saying, gee, we need more gun control. The problem is they've already got some pretty good gun control in California. So I don't know exactly how they're going to explain this one because, again, California has some pretty strict gun control laws as it is. Let's talk a little bit about Vice President Biden, who came in this week. And, you know, he came in, he's done well. He's raised a lot of money. Clearly, there are many people in the establishment who want him to win. There's a lot of what I would call, you know, mid-level Democrats, centrist Democrats, who would rather have him running than Senator Sanders. So I think clearly he's going to get a lot of money. I'm not worried at all about Biden getting money. He shouldn't be worried about getting money at all. They're going to dump a lot of money on Biden, to say the least. The problem is the energy is not with Biden. The energy is with Bernie Sanders. That's where the energy is. And the Bernie Sanders people clearly demonstrated in 2016 that they have the energy and they can get the money. So it's going to be a tough battle, I think, from here on. It's going to be a tough battle between Vice President Biden and Senator Sanders. It's really a battle for the soul of the Democrat Party. I think we're at a point right now where the Democrat Party is going to have to make up its mind. I mean, do we come back to the center and become a center-left party, more in the tradition of Hubert Humphrey, Walter Mondale, people like that? Or do we go more like Bernie Sanders and, in essence, become a European Socialist Party? You know, the voters are going to decide. The problem for the vice president in this particular struggle is that this is going to be a campaign in the primaries of the Democrat Party, and the Bernie Sanders people, the left, have a lot more energy and a lot more desire to work. And I don't know how energetic, and I mean that with all due respect, you know, I don't know how energetic Vice President Biden is going to be. He's never really been a great campaigner. I mean, this is not his first time. And, you know, running for the Senate in Delaware, where he won several times, a little bit different when you're an incumbent senator running in pretty easy victories or pretty easy elections over the years. It's a lot different when you go national and you're running for president. He also has, I think, some other problems. This is not the party that he grew up in. And all you have to do is look at the issues and positions that he's taken over the years. I mean, this is a man who at one time voted to restore Robert E. Lee's citizenship. It's in the record. It's right there. So this is a man who has a lot of records, a lot of votes that he's going to have to explain. Now, I don't think it's fair when they do that to candidates, when they pull out a vote from 30 years ago, but that's the way it goes. He's going to have to explain his position on abortion, on traditional marriage, on the death penalty, on the Iraq War. I mean, there's just a lot of things that he's going to have to explain to a party that has gone much further to the left than I think he is. Now, the other thing that's interesting to me, Vice President Biden said that he was getting phone calls from world leaders to run. And that is really silly because I have a post coming out Sunday morning about the Paris Climate Change Accord and how all these countries that were criticizing President Trump for pulling out, none of them, not one country, is living up to the Paris Climate Change Accords. In fact, I think Costa Rica and Ghana are the only two countries that are even remotely living up to the agreement. Most of the other countries have simply not been able politically to live up to the agreement. So here they are, you know, they're attacking President Trump, President Trump this, President Trump that. In reality, none of them have lived up to the Paris Climate Change Accord. So if they're not living up to it, they shouldn't tell us that, they shouldn't criticize President Trump for pulling out. Now, another thing that you have to be very careful about, it didn't take a long time, and I have a post about this at the American Thinker this morning. It didn't take a long time for these polls to come out showing that Biden has a 9-point lead on President Trump, and if the election were held today, he would win by 9 points. Look, that's just a bunch of nonsense, a poll this far in advance. Back in this moment, in March and April and May of 1983, Senator John Glenn had a double-digit lead on President Reagan at this time. He was leading President Reagan at this time by double digits. So was Mondale. Not by double digits, but he was leading President Reagan. Now, as you may recall, President Reagan won 49 states and 60% of the popular vote. So don't get too excited about these early polls. I think a lot of it is just nonsense. And I've never been a big fan of these early polls. If you look at, I think a much better poll is to look at his approval ratings, very much in line with President Obama at this point, President Clinton at this point, and President Reagan, three men who were reelected. Now, he's doing less than the two Bush presidencies because the first Bush at this moment, you know, was coming out of the first Gulf War, so his popularity was 90%. And the second Bush at this moment was also benefiting from some of the Iraq War and so on. So those two had special circumstances, but the other three, Reagan, Clinton, and Obama, were doing about the same thing that President Trump is doing right now. So I think those polls are a bit more significant, frankly, more meaningful to me than all these polls about, what's going to happen, 18 months from now. The election is 18 months from now, and there's so much. I mean, as they say in baseball, there's so many innings to play. This is way early in the game, and frankly, any judgment right now has to be understood as way too early, and millions of things can happen between now and the next election, good and bad. I mean, I'm not trying to tell you that Trump is going to be automatically reelected, but what I'm trying to tell you is that he looks pretty good at this point with some of the previous presidents who've been in this situation. We had a great economic report on Friday. I mean, I just don't know how to tell you. Just an absolutely fantastic economic report. 3.2 GDP growth for the first quarter of 2019. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that for a mature economy like the United States. So, you know, what happens now? Well, I'm sure President Trump wishes that day like this. I'm sure he's sitting there saying, gee, I like to keep this up. But, you know, he doesn't have to keep up 3.2% growth for this economy to keep humming. But this 3.2 is just absolutely fantastic. Now, of course, there are always danger signs in any economy. It's like a person. I mean, you go into the hospital or you go into the doctor's office for your annual physical, and the doctor says, hey, you're doing great. You're doing great. But, you know, check out, you look out for this, look out for this. You know, just keep an eye on this, keep an eye on that. So there's always going to be parts of the economy that are always going to be, let's say, areas of improvement where you could have improvement. But I think overall, this is a very strong economy. And as I've said many times, President Trump goes up or down with the American economy. And right now, looking at this economy, I think he's going to be very difficult to beat. I really do. Unless the Democrats can somehow come up with a message that makes sense, this is going to be a very tough president to beat, given this amazing American economy at this point. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos, and we'll be right back.
Carlos Guedes Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sissiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sissiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlo's website on the show information. Click on that, and you'll be able to get information as to where he's playing every single day, every single place around the Dallas area. You know, on this day in 1947, every Major League Baseball park had a special day for Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth was dying. He was in very bad shape. He would die about 10 months later. But every ballpark in the country had Babe Ruth Day, and they had special recollections of the great Bambino. And the biggest one, of course, was at Yankee Stadium, where Babe Ruth showed up. And you could tell by the photographs that this was a sick man. This is a man who, what can I tell you? He didn't look good at all, but he was there. And he spoke a little bit to the fans, and it was a real treat. And baseball finally said goodbye to the great Bambino, Babe Ruth, on this day in 1947. I mentioned that there is little appetite for impeachment in the country. A poll came out indicating that 37% of the country is in favor of impeachment. Now, I know it's going to be a little bit higher if you ask Democrats, but 37%, when you get down to 37%, that includes a lot of Democrats. That basically leaves you with only Democrats, and for that matter, probably just a lot of liberal Democrats. I think everybody in the Democratic Party realizes what impeachment will do to the Democrats. The first thing you're going to get is that the whole Congress is going to stop, because nothing is going to get done. They're basically shut down the entire Congress. Nothing of consequence is going to get done. You're not going to have any legislation on health care. You're not going to have any legislation whatsoever on immigration. The issues are just going to come to a halt. Everything is going to come to a halt because the Congress is just going to focus, and the whole country is going to focus exclusively on impeachment. That's the first problem. The second problem is that it's very tough to write articles of impeachment when there's no crime. You know, with President Clinton, there was a crime, perjury. With President Nixon, even though the articles were never actually voted on, the crime was, you know, that he was obstructing justice and all of those other things that he was doing, especially when those tapes came out. And if you go back to the very first impeachment of Andrew Johnson in 1867, it was the same thing, that he was being accused specifically of a crime. In this case, there is no crime. And all this garbage about obstruction of justice, look, if you want to understand how bad the case is, just listen to Professor Dershowitz, who was making the case that there is no obstruction of justice here, because you cannot accuse someone of obstruction of justice when he's actually doing his job. I mean, the president had every constitutional power to fire Comey. He could have fired anybody, really. He could have done anything he wanted to do because these were all people working for him. So obstruction of justice is, I think, a very weak case. So the third problem the Democrats are going to have is that they have a bunch of these representatives who don't want to go back home in 2020 and say, look, I came here to work and get things done, but all we did was waste our time with President Trump. So impeachment is a loser for the Democrats. They're not going to go anywhere with it. The best thing they can do is forget about it. Just put it behind them. Just say to the left, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. Now, it's going to be hard to do. That's going to be hard to do because you have a Democrat Party in the left that is so insane, I mean, just so insanely crazy about destroying Trump that they just have no control. They have no control over themselves. And I wouldn't be surprised if they push the party for impeachment and the party loses the House in 2020. That's how crazy the left wing of the party is. But I think the moderates hopefully will stop it and save the party from itself. I don't know. We'll have to find out. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you next time.